sidebar.
Hey, Randy's here. I almost didn't recognize Randy. I haven't seen him with that long of hair before.
You're still muted, Randy.
He's still muted.
I've got COVID hair.
You know, it's perfect. I love it. You and your wife look more alike.
This is as long as it's maybe ever been. Even in high school, I might have had it similar, but that's about it.
We've got a great special episode for you this week, listeners. We sit down with Randy Lee. He's a retired music educator from the Duluth area, and he's going to talk all about music activities in the Twin Ports, the North Shore, and all the way across the Arrowhead region. He's lived his life as a teacher and performer of music in this region, and he's got and wealth of expertise, encyclopedic knowledge of music in northern and northeastern Minnesota. We're so glad to have him with us today. So we're going to get right to our conversation with Randy Lee.
Today we're joined by Randy Lee, who's had a life and a career on the North Shore in Duluth, who's going to talk to us a little bit, actually quite a bit, about music on the North Shore and the Arrowhead region. So welcome, Randy.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, let's just start with our listeners to learn a little, if they don't know you already, hard to believe if that's true. So I think our listen, you've been in a band director for quite a while in the state. No introduction necessary. No, but let's go ahead and why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about you and your life on the North Shore.
Well, sure. I am a lifer Minnesotan, born in actually in Staples, Minnesota, central Minnesota. Some people may not know, but left there early, went to Minneapolis, lived in Minneapolis as a young man or young boy, I should say. And then, eventually ended up in Duluth, with my stepdad, mom and sister, in 1970. And then from there, I'm a Duluthian forever. I graduated from Duluth East, went to UMD, got my, undergrad. And then went and taught 5 years in McGregor, Minnesota, 65 miles west of Duluth. And then the next 32 years, we're at Hermantown, which borders Duluth. And we wanted to get back in this area and be near our parents and help them out, which has certainly contributed recently. And got my master's along the way from across the bay in UWS. So I'm really a Twin Ports guy. And that was a long time ago, too. So been doing it a long time and feel really fortunate. And then I did retire 1 year ago, and am enjoying that, but I'm now teaching some courses for three area colleges, real light stuff, and I have some of the sax studio at UMD, so happy to be doing that. I don't want to be full-time again, really, but I'm happy to help out some of the local colleges.
Well, I know you were just a really fantastic middle school band director. That's when I knew you first, because you were teaching middle school in Hermantown. But your first love might be jazz. So in addition to the jazz that you make on the North Shore, tell us about other regional arts musical arts organizations that exist and a little bit about the history of the community when it comes to music making.
Yeah, I'm glad we kind of turned towards the Arrowhead region. And that's what I focused on. And Jerry and I spoke a few weeks back and I thought, wow, let's represent. And like the Iron Range, for example, has such a great tradition, which if we have time, I can get into. But for those who don't know, of course, the Arrowhead region is obvious to see on a map. It includes 1 million acres of the Boundary Waters canoe area, which is awesome. And it's important, I think, in our conversation. I think it does enter. The Twin Cities, of course, has 3.5 million people, and we are 1/14 that size. We are at 250,000 up here, and that's the entire Arrowhead region. Duluth, of course, being, I think, the fourth largest city in Minnesota still, but is by far the largest. In my area, we often couple ourselves with Superior, but our topic today, of course, is a Minnesota band podcast, so I'm kind of avoiding that topic, but we are so ingrained with them, and I have a lot of wonderful musician friends from across the bay. In Superior is a city of about 26,000, but maybe it's worth saying, as far as commercially and nationally, some people know names like Trampled by Turtles, a bluegrass folk rock band which has released 8 full albums, and they're a big deal. In a band like Low, not everyone may know Low, but they're it's kind of a minimalist indie rock group. They've put out a dozen albums and they're really cool. A lot of people know Bob Dylan was actually born in Duluth, but then only lived about a year and a half, I think, in Duluth, and then moved to Hibbing and graduated from Hibbing. And for those real Dylan heads, an 18-year-old Bob Dylan watched Buddy Holly at the Duluth Armory in 1959, 3 days before Buddy Holly, of course, tragically died in the plane accidents.
Randy went on to share information about several other artists and ensembles from the region, including the fact that Gary Puckett, the 60s legend as of Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, was born in Hibbing, Minnesota as well.
The places to play, I don't know, Jerry, if you want me to go into
venues? let's jump into events and kind of what's
I just want to say, I never knew that Gary Puckett was from Minnesota. I love Union Gap. That's a great 60s sound. I learned something new just now. So thank you.
Yeah. And I would hope our Minnesota, compatriots here who hear this would enjoy some of this. It is certainly specific to my region, and I hope we don't bore anybody, but I think there'll be a lot of kind of neat, some news like that type of thing. So yeah, the biggest venue for years is a lot of people know is the Armory up here. Sometimes we forget those things. And besides having, of course, all the comedians and national celebrities of the day, like Harry Truman and Eleanor Roosevelt and Hubert Humphrey, it had the likes of Liberace, the New York Philharmonics, Sergei Rachmaninoff, the Russian Symphony Orchestra, violinist Fritz Kreisler, Irish tenor John McCormick, Louis Armstrong came there, and the bands of Jimmy Dorsey and Duke Ellington, Sonny and Cher, the Beach Boys, Everly Brothers, Diana Ross and the Supremes, Johnny Cash with Carl Perkins and Jerry Lee Lewis, and many, many more. And that was the huge venue in this area for decades.
Are you talking about Chicago or New York?
I know, isn't it something?
But it's great.
Duluth didn't miss a lot. It was, and some people may know, what was the statistic? In 1895, Duluth had the most millionaires per capita, possibly, in the United States for sure. And I don't know if it was the world, but it was, of course, because of iron ore, lumber, shipping, railroad. Those were the big four. So it was a thriving area and had some support. And the Duluth Civic Orchestra started at the Armory in 1925. So that's a huge venue here for anyone in history. And they're still they're having trouble over the decades here trying to actually get it certified again and usable for anything. They do teach there, but that's one of our big venues over the past. Denfeld High School, some people may know, with that wonderful clock tower out in 44th West, goes back to the 20s. And that seats 1,800. It's a huge wraparound auditorium with multi-lofts. And that had tons of talent, including a lot of the people I just mentioned. They actually staged full operas there in the 50s, and had the stars were from the New York Met and the New York City Operas would fill the lead roles. And then they'd bring in, of course, the Louis Armstrongs and Ed Sullivan and Johnny Mathis. And this is all at a high school auditorium, but it's quite the auditorium with chandeliers. And then the other one,
Hibbing High School has something pretty special up there too.
It's stunning. Yeah,
exactly. And that's, there are actually five up there. Hibbing is one of them, and I can go into those. You don't want to forget Aurora. Believe it or not, Aurora and Ely and Chisholm and Virginia and Hibbing all have these, what we'd call classic, I guess, with murals on the walls. They usually see 900 to 1,200. The chandeliers in Hibbing, there are four Czechoslovakian-made chandeliers, each worth $100,000 today. It's pretty crazy. 1924, that was built. Hibbing has had a ton of wonderful people go through. Of course, the Sousa Band played there. Sousa Band played in Duluth Armory in January of 1920, and came through the whole area, of course. And he's a great friend of the Twin Cities, who he appeared a lot there. But we're happy.
I was going to say, where didn't Sousa go? Sousa
exactly
took everywhere. Yeah,
the megastar. And Hibbing hosted, like, the Boston Symphony Orchestra comes through and goes to Hibbing, right? And it had Hibbing has a Barton pipe organ. There are three made in Germany, and two of them are in the United States. And it's just considered quite a valued item. It's still there, and they've kept it up. Grand Rapids, on the other hand, has a much newer, the Reif Center, you guys may know about, is a totally modern, beautiful new facility. And they bring in world-class dancers and musicians and variety events. So, and they're happening all the time. So I've played there recently myself, but The Iron Range does have a lot of gems.
Yeah, well, and back, I want to say I've been to that. I've been to Grand Rapids, and I've been to that auditorium. And the key is the performing arts series that goes along with it. And I think that's really important. You have this beautiful public space, and then you bring in, you know, don't just use it for, you know, school events or whatever, but they're really bringing people in and bringing culture to what is a fairly remote area.
Right. Yeah. And Rapids is what we call like West Range. Some, if, for those locals, you know, and some, they actually don't consider themselves of the range. Sometimes you get a little bit of, you feel a little bit of something there. Like some people don't associate with others, but, and Rapids has the Blandon Paper Company, which is huge and gives a lot of money. And it's wonderful endowments from them. And so, and that's a little different. They've got this this wonderful hall, and it's really modern and wraparound and all the modern sound equipment and all that. So that's a gem in the Arrowhead region.
Right. And then coming back to Duluth itself, UMD has a relatively new concert hall. Right.
Right. Among us locals, it's kind of funny. It has a bit of a rep, but yes, Cesar Pellini, right, designed it. Beautiful building. We all think it's wonderful for small venue, small performances. Yeah, I mean, a string quartet is awesome there. When you get a larger band, like or maybe a percussion ensemble or even a jazz band, it starts to get pretty tough. It's a very resonant hall, of course.
Yeah, I've been in this. It's aesthetically beautiful.
Yep, beautiful. Going back to like our deck, we call it the Duluth Entertainment and Convention Center, which is has every national act now, and of course, huge things. I should mention near that is the.
I saw Jay Leno there.
Oh yeah, right. Yep. And I so saw like I saw Gordon Lightfoot there, you know, a million years ago, who we love, and John Denver and that kind of thing. But of course, they bring in you know all kinds of mega rock bands. They have you know. A lot of the bands that the Twin Cities would feature. They had Elton John was here a few years ago. There are big names, but the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra, of course, that's their home. And they've been around for nearly 100 years and have had wonderful directors. The longest tenured would be like a 17 years for Tavo Virkaus, who's also a composer. He was a director there from 1977 to 94. Recent one is just a wonderful musician. We love him. Dirk Meyer, who's actually from Germany. And he's been there since 2013 now and does a real diverse lot of things. Of course, everybody's swimming right now in the pandemic, trying to make it all work. They are doing some small group outreach and trying to stay active up here with the DSSO. And,
does he stay in town or does he go flying back and forth between Germany?
He is, I think he stays in this country. And a lot of the directors of DSSO have also had, and in fact, it's always often been an orchestra in Georgia. They've had a, you know, two.
Almost a relationship. Yeah.
Yep, they do two. And they, of course, they have to match their, make their season work. And they probably often do the same literature, you know, in the same month. But that's been real common just to keep a part-time director going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other similar venues like that, though, like there, as far as groups, you mentioned, Jerry, that there's the DSSO, which we very much treasure here, the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra. There is the Itasca Symphony Orchestra, which is out of Grand Rapids. Long led by Keith Swanson, who I'll mention again if we get I'll get time. He's such a wonderful musician. There's the Lyric Opera of the North is a group that every summer tries to stage a big opera. There's the Lake Superior Chamber Orchestra, which has been going about 34 years, I think, led by Warren Friesen. It's all the best players. It's actually the DSSO players, in a, you know, of course, in a chamber orchestra setting. And there's the Duluth Community Orchestra. So we have those are the orchestra groups we have. And then you can get into bands, and we have the Twin Ports Wind Orchestra, which actually Tim Marr started.
Right.
And which is now led by the UMD band director, Mark Whitlock, who's a wonderful educator, who's been here now, 26 years, I think? So
right.
Mark's been around a while.
So what about the big band that you started?
Yeah, well, then we can get into like jazz. And thanks for mentioning it. I'm very proud of our big time jazz orchestra, which I founded with my wife, you know, Mary. Jerry knows Mary well. And we started that 30 years ago, and we were going to have this big celebration, of course, just this past spring, our 30th year, and it was going to be a big deal. And of course, the pandemic hit, so we're all shut down. We're hoping to have our 30th at some point in a new at a new date, which is kind of humorous, but we're very proud of it because we've got the greatest jazz musicians in our area, including a couple of guys from Chisholm. I mean, I try to really find the finest trained, experienced jazzers, and we have the finest big band members around, and we have composers locally, and we try to play for students, and we often play for charitable groups and raise money. So we are a 501c3 nonprofit, and we've been going a long time, and we've made two studio CDs thanks to grants from the Minnesota State Legislature, and our local is ARAC, which is the Arrowhead Regional Arts Council. So that group I'm so proud of, and we try to keep busy. It's not a gigging situation, as many people know nowadays. I think the last time we played for maybe like a wedding or something and got paid was like a year and a half ago. That's just about dried up. We just keep playing like a community band, but I like to think it is the finest players around, and we do a challenging program of grade 4 to 6 literature. We're pretty fearless that way with really fine players. And there are other, of course, a lot of great musicians up here, and I hate to leave anybody out, can't get everybody, but there's like the North Shore Big Band is a wonderful group of players. And guess what? It's basically a tribute to Jim Stellmacher, who a lot of people know that legendary name, James Stellmacher. And a lot of that band are his former students from years ago. And he was one of my mentors, such a valued guy. And they try to play and keep things happening. They're all in other form. A lot of them are in other lines of work and not music related. And it's they try to get together and present concerts. Jerry and I had talked about kind of the Mount Rushmore idea, or the just the icons. And the big three of Duluth, I can tell you, a lot of people of any age will say that for over 25 years, we had this triumvirate that you will know these names, Jerry. Bill Tormundson was at Duluth East for, I think Bill was there maybe 35 years. Jerry Kloon was a character, and we all loved him. He was out at Denfeld, kind of a jazzer, and it came through as, he's just a wonderful guy. And then Jim Stellmacher. So can you imagine for, 25 to 40 years, we had those three, and that was quite a combination of people in our area. Stellmacher had actually started in Aurora, which is way up in the range. So, and he came down after only a few years, but those three are just huge in our area. And
then we've legends. Got
Keith Swanson, who a lot of people know, taught for 39 years at just Hermantown, and a few more years actually started at Duluth East, which with Tormundson. And Keith was huge into orchestral things. He always loved bringing in transcriptions for his bands. He did perform twice at MMEA, and he always featured an opera program with arrangements of, Tosca or whatever, and had opera singers with him. He was also heavily involved in the early MMEA listening competitions, and was, I think they won it once, first 1 year, and they were runners up a few years and was way into that. So Keith's a legend, and he retired 4 years now. Some of you may know the name J.R. Murphy. Jerry, you may remember the name Murphy.
Yeah.
Who was a colorful character at UMD, has a lot of devotees, so the older folks up here. Murphy came from Texas and had kind of that attitude with him, and was, I believe it was about 28 years, was at UMD, and some might say created real legitimacy to that program. Super passionate musician, a very colorful character, maybe ruffled a few feathers along the way, but so many give him credit. He was a trumpeter and taught a lot of well-known trumpeters that are actually around the country. And Tim Marr spent 10 years at UMD. So he's an important figure up here. And of course, we're so proud of, his legacy at St. Olaf now, and of course, a composing legacy. But he was here 10 years and started that Twin Ports Wind Ensemble, which is now called the Twin Ports Wind Orchestra, minor change there. I like to throw in a Keith Zumbrunnen. It would be a name people don't know, but he was an itinerant woodwind teacher. He came out of Grand Rapids, by the way, and went through UMD. And then he taught in the Duluth system for decades before he finally decided to get out of it. But people like me and Brad Bombardier, you may know that name. We just love Keith because he taught some of us serious woodwind players. And he's a multi-instrumentalist who was just a gem, who could perform the Chaminade on flute and the Weber clarinet concerto and play saxophone. It's just stunning musician. He was always so humble to this day. And he's still supportive of me and writes me letters. And so that's kind of my Hall of Famers right there. And I just, again, you always risk leaving somebody out.
Well, you mentioned Tim Maher as a composer. And I know there's a list of composers that have come out of the region.
Exactly. And Aaron Perrine is a hot name right now.
Absolutely.
You guys know Aaron. Well, it's funny because I worked with when I first taught in McGregor, the Perrine family was there. Aaron's grandpa was my principal, who was also a band director when he was a teacher. And his dad was a former band director in McGregor who had gotten out of teaching but got back into it. So young little Aaron was a little toddler when I was there. And it's just so exciting to think what he's writing. Amazing music.
He is writing amazing music.
Yeah. Didn't he win the Oswald Award, I think? I mean, we're talking that level.
Right.
He's getting exactly. hired internationally now. So that's exciting from Little McGregor, which again, I don't say that to belittle it. We thought we'd live forever in McGregor. You know how it is when you're a young director, and then we had this opportunity to move back towards our parents, and we did that. But Justin Rubin is on staff at UMD and teaches mm-hmm. theory comp there, and is actually plays organ as well too, and is active in that way. Tim, as we mentioned, of course, is such an established composer and had the 10 years here in Duluth, and then the late Brad Bombardier. It was right. a wonderful musician. I want to put a plug in there for Brad. So sad that he passed away 1 year ago before he reached his 59th birthday. Just a good friend. And Brad is a composer of all styles and a fantastic multi-instrumentalist and teacher. So he's like a pretty big name around our area. Just so sad to lose him early. There was one, I think I and all of us should check, Rolf Berger Yitrus. Comes from Duluth.
Okay.
I've never heard this name until I did some research, and his credentials look very impressive, including he went to study in Europe with all kinds of people, and he lived to be like in his 80s. So I guess I'm curious what kind of music Rolf Berger Yitrus composed. Well,
that's your assignment. Learn
I guess
more.
So. I got to look these up. There's a couple names now we've unearthed. And then across the bay, by the way, is Greg Moore. Again, I just want to throw that little Superior, because the Twin Ports are so tight.
Of course, yeah.
And Greg Moore is wonderful over there at UWS. And then Ian Detterling is actually a young up-and-comer who's from from the Superior area. So,
well, Randy, this has been great. Maybe you could tell us, close with a story about music making on the North Shore. Because, you know, we lived up on the hill, and it would be right. 80 degrees. And it's the only place I've ever lived where I needed a coat. When it was 80 degrees out, because if you went downtown, it could be 50.
Oh, right. Yep.
So yep. Do you have any stories about making music in Duluth? It's been
Derek Brahmy, who fine trombonist and teacher, was just telling me the other day how he was playing that. They actually pulled off that fully staged opera up on the range this summer. They think it may be the only staged opera on the planet during the pandemic.
Right.
He said at 8:30, you could set your watch. The mosquitoes came in. They're playing an outdoor venue. They're playing and the mosquitoes, and you'd start to swat them. They're biting through your pant legs. You can't see the director anymore. You're trying to play trombone, and it's Tosca. So in the last 2.5 minutes of the opera, the main character dies, and he has to lay on stage and get the blood sucked out of him and not cringe while the mosquitoes are attacking. So there's a Minnesota story for you, but
only to be topped by the black flies on a bad year.
Oh my gosh, yes. And yeah. You're right, Jerry, that it is, you know, anyone by the lake, you know, the world's largest air conditioner, right, is the lake is a huge influence up here. So that makes a difference.
Well, this has been good. Any final thoughts or big, you know, anything we leave out that you really wanted to share with us?
People that we all know and love, like Geneva Fitzsimmons, was a gem up here. She came up and taught at Two Harbors, and we all just adored her. And then, of course, she went down to the metro area, as you guys know, and I still get to see her and teach with her sometimes down there.
And she's now at the high school. She was at the middle school for years. Now she's at the high school teaching ninth grade.
Ninth
grade band.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of people that you guys know have come through our area. So we're just proud of that. Dave Hagedorn, you know, taught here a long time. He taught at both UWS and UMD, and mostly UWS. And I got my master's over there, and Dave was a wonderful teacher for me. And of course, he's now, you know, they've won awards at St. Olaf for his work there. Grand Rapids is a supercharged community, really, of music. And they, in 2013, they won Best Communities for Music Education, given out by the National Association of Music Merchants. They also pride themselves on being one of the only competitive field show marching band programs north of the Twin Cities, which is unfortunately true. We could go on and on. You'll have to stop me.
Didn't Doug Nimmo grow up in Duluth?
Well, exactly. He's just one of our shining stars up here. He came through UMD. I don't know where Doug if he grew up in Duluth, but he got his undergrad from UMD, and he would be another J.R. Murphy devotee. You know, he just gives a ton of credit to that musical mania of James R. Murphy. And Doug, I would throw in that Doug has had a totally different style to Murphy. Doug is just, you know, just a gem. And we're so proud that he came from this area up here. And a lot of his old friends are up here. You know, we talk about Doug.
Great
exactly.
Teacher.
And people know that it's just an artsy area. I think people would call Duluth an artsy area. And Little Grand Marais, I want to throw a little plug in there. Grand Marais up the shore. If anybody's been way up near the border, then you get to, you know, it's like a Duluth that's only 1/10 the size of it or less. And there's like even folk schools, and there's people, you know, concentrating on art.
Yeah.
I know more of the Angry Trout restaurant, and of course, heading into the Boundary Waters from there. And I love Grand Marais too. And you guys probably know that, former head of MMEA, Eric Anderson, retired up there. So he's living up there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he loves it. And he drives down and is in the Twin Parts Window Orchestra in Duluth. So we play in that together.
And he's got a radio show on public radio. He's doing some great things in retirement. Yeah.
Oh, cool. He lives up off the lake. He chose to go inland a bit there, but yeah, there's some rugged climate up there. Oh wow, yeah. my computer tells me it's running low on energy. This may be good to end soon. I'm not plugged in, Jerry. If you want me to plug in quick, I'm gonna have to go get my plug in from downstairs.
I think we've covered it for today. Maybe we'll schedule another episode later.
Yeah, this is you truly have an encyclopedic knowledge of music happening in the Twin Ports and beyond. And I also like the fact that you did some research and the teacher became student. Can you say the name of that composer again that we're all going to research? Who are we going to be looking up?
Yeah, right. Let me find that again. Oh my gosh, Rolf with a V at the end. Rolf Berger. And then you better get the spelling of this last name. Yeah. Y-T-T-R-E-H-U-S. I see like Yatreus. Degrees from the U of M and University of Michigan. He went to the Accademia di Santa Cecilia in Rome. He studied harmony with Nadia Boulanger.
Wow.
And went on with Ross Lee Finney, Roger Sessions, Aaron Copland, Gioffredo Petrassi. And he taught at the University of Missouri, Purdue University, University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh, and Rutgers. How do you like that?
Wow. That's quite the CV, yeah.
And I'm sad to say and embarrassed to say that I never heard of him before this particular
Maybe
program.
There's some, you know, hidden gems of music.
Exactly. Well, he's even got a page on Wikipedia, so he's got to be fairly well known. And,
right.
I mean, and some of the pieces he's written are, you know, by major publishers, so yeah.
Okay. You know, Brad studied musicology.
Yeah, so I'm fascinated by this. Yeah, I have a master's in music history. So
I didn't know that, Brad. That's awesome.
You are currently listening to Expressioni for Orchestra by Rolf Yatreus from 1962.
Rolf was also a ski jumper during World War II.
Oh
he was
gosh.
He was in the Navy in World War II, and about the same time, he was an avid ski jumper.
Yeah.
Well, it does snow in Duluth.
It does. 85 inches a year average.
I think you were the person. It was like the coldest night of the year. I was living in Duluth. The wind was blowing, you know, horizontally. It was about 30 below zero. And I think it was you came to the door, knocked on the door, and I didn't even recognize you because we were so covered. And you said, let's go play broom ball. And I think we went out and played broom ball. I remember that.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. That might have been the last time I played broom ball, but.
Maybe.
I'm glad we got you involved.
Yeah, you did. I thought this is crazy.
That's actually how I broke a thumb too. I took a shot with a broom. You know, I stayed fairly active for many years until I got older here. But I've had my share of injuries. Unfortunately, it's not good as a musician, is it?
I was going to say not good for saxophone. No,
not really.
No. Well, thanks again. This has just been really fun.
You bet. And thank Great you for your you. Program. You guys are awesome for doing this. I don't know how you find time. I'm amazed by that. So,
As Brad scratches his head.
Yeah. It's actually been a good distraction the past 6 months. It'll be a little bit harder now that we're going back to school to fit it all in, but it's been fun. Yeah.
Well, you're true. And you're modest, Brad, because I know you're so busy and you're trying to reteach. I mean, this is retaching. You're retooling for this is, you know, you're very humble, but thanks for all your energy. And Jerry, you're a legend. And we love you, and you're such a positive dude as well.
Oh, thanks. Mm-hmm. Ditto. Yeah, it's been a long, good friendship. So
I agree. I'm so glad we stayed connected.
So say hi to your beautiful family.
I will.
And we'll end this by saying this has been another episode of
Band in Minnesota.